With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
I know that happened on Thursday, which was day one of the 2017 NFL Draft, but did the Bears really do that? Use the second pick of the draft to take a quarterback that is a one-year, 13-game collegiate starter. And they did that after bringing in Mike Glennon and paying him starting quarterback money. That, to me, is a gigantic WTF? Question mark. Hey, well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman here in the Fox Sports studio in Las Vegas with future Hall of Fame producer Magnum. We come your way every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 live on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. We are also streaming on lvsportsnetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Adeline 1340 AM. And please check out, like, and follow the Facebook page, which is called Adeline. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. Without you, there is no show. So if you feel inclined to call in, the Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. Today, we will not be short on subjects or guests. The NFL draft is over, so is the NHL draft lottery. The second round of the NBA playoffs will start before the first round is over, and the Washington Capitals are looking to prove again that the President's Cup is a meaningless distinction. After the first break, we will be joined by former NFL wide receiver and our present-day colleague at Lotus Broadcasting and the LVSportsNetwork.com, the man known as Pritch on what was the Mitch and Pritch Show on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM. Mike Pritchard will talk to Pritch about the NFL draft and the future of the top local drive time sports show. And a little later, Kelly McCrimmon, the assistant general manager of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, or I should just say the Vegas Golden Knights is what they're calling them, we'll check in. Las Vegas beat the odds the wrong way last night, and we're on the short end of the lottery stick. Kelly can't be happy about that. I'll ask him about it and see if we can get any tips about who might be wearing black and gold when the 2017-2018 NHL season faces off. Also, we've got all the weekly features. Blazing fact this and the Las Vegas 51s report. I do have some 51s tickets to give away, and we have a free entry into the Saturday $10,000 guarantee no limit Texas Hold'em poker tournament at Binion's, the place that man, I'm all over the board today, that made poker famous. And hey, on tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. That's right. They are always open. Bubby's University, 4570 South Hualapai, between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com. Well, Mags, I don't want to get a great deal into it. It's brand new. But what do you think, brother? Marvin Menzies went to work. And from everything I'm reading, it's getting a lot of respect, at least from Mountain West coaches and executives.
Well, I have a couple thoughts on it. I'm going to start by saying people, and I'm constantly on social media, so I follow what the fans say quite a bit. Let's temper our expectations a little bit. I see stuff, you know, oh, this is it. We're going to go win the Mountain West Conference. All of a sudden, Rebels are back. Calm down. He still is turning over an entire roster, basically. These three kids coming in are all freshmen. They're not Kentucky or Duke freshmen. They are going to be freshmen. Very good freshmen.
Better freshmen than what we saw last year, yes, Max. Okay.
But there's going to take time for chemistry to be built.
Okay.
Because the team does not have a trip to the Bahamas like they did last year, where they can build a little camaraderie, chemistry. He's going to be starting from scratch when practice begins. And let's give him an opportunity to work with this group of kids. There's going to be a couple of other guys coming in that are pretty good. Aside from these big three, they got the kid from Senegal, who is the one I'm excited about, because I always love the athleticism that generally those kids from West Africa.
The raw talent.
Yes.
It's just raw, uninhibited talent that a good coach can form into an NBA talent.
Exactly. And I think people just need to slow down on the 20 to 25 wins. You know, they're no still missing some pieces. It's still a rebuild. And as much as I think Marvin is going to get the job done, and I think that he's brought in some good kids, I just think that the fans still need to be patient. I saw somebody the other day making a comment about them being on. If he doesn't make the NCAA tournament next year, his seat will start to warm up. And to me, that's just ridiculous. It's not an overnight rebuild. It's going to take time. And my thinking is, we should see an improvement somewhere between 5 to 7 games. If they win 16 to 18 games, are in the upper half of the Mountain West, and are competing for an NIT bid, I would say that's significant progress, and to me, I would be satisfied with that. Obviously, I want this team in the NCAA tournament. That's what we all want. But I'm not going to get on the guy and say stupid things like he's on the hot seat. Now, if they come out and they don't improve from last year and they are on a 10-11 win team again, yeah, people have a right to be disappointed.
You know, the end result has to be better than the end result last year. And I think that's all that if you're smart and you follow the game and you see a rebuilding process, you want to see improvement. And like you said, I agree 100%. If the team is competing and gets themselves an NIT berth or is right on the cusp of that in the second year, I think that would be fair. I can't imagine the seat getting very hot. It just does not create a winning culture. And it's funny, driving in today this morning, I've got to get up, Mags, to find out that, again, I got to add crap to my show because the Buffalo Bills decide to make a really bonehead move and fire their general manager right after the draft. This guy, Wally, I'm sorry, you gave him a contract extension last year. He fired both the Ryans like you wanted him to. Yeah, he drafted, I'm sure, who you wanted to. I have no idea how you become disenchanted with a guy right after the draft. You gave him a contract extension. You let him hire the new head coach, and then you fire him. We'll get into that. Go ahead. You got an opinion? Give me.
And it may not be the correct analysis of it, but my thought process on it is, if you're the Buffalo Bills, you do fire Whaley now, because he had no idea it was coming. So he's been working with his scouting department to build a team, draft these players, and I thought they did a pretty good job.
So did I. Draft.
But you have all these guys who spent an entire year scouting all these college players. If you fire Doug Whaley in February, all that's wasted. You have to start from scratch.
Oh, but my God in heaven. Oh, Magnum, you'd make a great owner because there's no loyalty whatsoever. Do all the work, bust your ass, and then you're fired. But it's Donald Trump and The Apprentice. We got Magnum in there.
If it's in the works and you want to fire this guy,
how do you let
can't
him,
fire him
Mags,
in February.
How do you let him hire your head coach and then fire him? And the head coach thinks this is it's really crappy. I'm sorry. It's crappy.
Magnum Pagula, that's my new name.
Yes, seriously, Mr. Pagula over there. You know, but real quickly, changing gears, and we'll talk a little bit more about the draft. We got Pritch on. The playoffs, the NBA playoffs. You know, pretty amazing today, Mags. About an hour after our show, round two of the NBA playoffs begin as the Wizards play the Celtics, a series I am looking so forward to. It's amazing I'm looking forward to a series, even though neither one of these teams have a snowball's chance in hell of winning the NBA title. I love the Washington Wizards backcourt. I think they are so much fun to watch. And Isaiah Thomas, Max, he seems to get better every single game. I like it, but it's amazing. The second round series is starting, and the first round's not even over with. And a little bit later in the day, we're going to see the LA Clippers hosting the Utah Jazz in another game I am excited to see. But you know, Mags, as I said, it's top heavy. There's no surprises in the NBA. There's nothing that knocks us down and take a look. Why don't you look at the second round, Meg? Look at the matchups. 1 through 4 have all made it through, and all we've got is a 4 and a 5 left over in the West. And if the Clippers find a way to win without Blake Griffin today, which I think is going to be a tough and a tall order, you'll have 1 through 4 on both sides as you're not one single upset in round one. I am even surprised at that.
Yeah, and I think Boston caught quite a break with Rajon Rondo breaking his thumb on his shooting hand because they were completely outplayed in those first two games by the Celtics. Some whistles helped Boston out in the later games, but the big break, of course, was Rondo breaking his thumb. And, you know, unfortunately, injuries are part of the game.
And
no pun intended, yes. But Boston caught a big break. Again, no pun intended, but, you know, I root against Boston. I root against everything in that city. So I'm disappointed that they were able to come back and win the series. But it is going to be a good second-round series with the Wizards.
They're not going to lose.
I think Boston will get through because I like Washington's backcourt, Beal.
As good as Beal and Wall. John Wall is becoming one of the best players in the game.
Yeah.
He's so much fun to watch.
But they kind of remind me of the Blazers East. You have this fantastic backcourt.
It's a good analogy.
And you've got a bunch of nothing to go with it. I mean, Otto Porter, serviceable. He can be good at times. Gortat was absolutely brutal in that series against the Hawks. So, and Morris.
Good player.
Good player. Again, the Wizards, if they're ever going to compete, they're going to need to get a third really, really good to elite player. I don't know if it's going to happen, but they, to me, are the Blazers East because you have this fantastic backcourt and a bunch of parts, really,
that go with it. You don't have an engine to drive this beautiful car.
Exactly.
And that's what you don't have. But
the
car is beautiful. And John Wizards, Wall, would you agree John Wall is a player you can build a team around?
I think John Wall is a superstar. I think he's arguably one of the top 10, 15 players.
How much fun is he to watch?
He is. And he's a good guy, which is another thing that you kind of root for the guy. But, yeah, the analogy is correct. They're like that guy you drive by his garage, and he's got the 67 Corvette sitting in the garage.
There's no motor in it.
You know, that's pretty much what they are.
Yeah.
But John Wall is a fantastic player. We don't really talk about him because the Wizards are never really on TV. But he's really, really good. He's elite and I'd like to see the Wizards get through only because I think they do have something to build on. And the other thing I always think about is hypothetically the Warriors win the championship. Kevin Durant can opt out. He's from that region, D.C., Baltimore.
Yeah. He's not opting out.
Well, he probably won't, but the possibility is there.
No, it's there.
But Scott Brooks is the coach of the Wizards.
The good points. Here's the thing with the Wizards. You know, John Wall, as good as he is and as good as that backcourt is, and like you, I'd only like to see them get through because I like the Wizards, and I grew up a Celtics hater. I'm from Detroit, okay? I'm not a big Celtics fan. I never have been, but the Celtics will give us a better series against the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm not so sure the Cavaliers get through the Raptors.
Oh, the Cavaliers are getting through the Raptors. I'm telling you right now, you're going to watch it again. It's going to be brutal to watch them crawl and scrape their way to the NBA Finals and then probably play better in the Finals than people will expect them to play. But everything is going to go according to plan. Mags, nothing is going to surprise you. I'm telling you right now, you are going to see San Antonio beat the Houston Rockets, and you are going to see the Golden State Warriors beat the Jazz or the Clippers, whoever comes through, and then you're going to see Golden State beat the San Antonio Spurs because Kawhi Leonard is just short of being good enough and having enough surrounding talent to get by them. So it's not going to happen. Although I think they'll go 6 games. I think Golden State will win it in San Antonio in 6. And it'll be Cleveland, Golden State. And I think this year Golden State gets back the crown they lost last year to the Cavaliers. Again, boring. We'll talk about that more later on. But real quickly, because we got to go to break in 2 minutes, Mags, I can't leave out the NHL today. I am excited about the National Hockey League playoffs. You want to talk about some fun. If you want to to start getting into hockey right now and getting into it for next year, Chris, there's not a better time to get into it than right now. This is awesome. Pittsburgh again, two games in Washington, knocking on the door of taking out the President's Cup champions again of the regular season. Sid Crosby, a little maneuver through his legs yesterday that, again, just left me cross-eyed how he does that. You've got the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid, one of the most exciting players I've seen in the past 20 years in the National Hockey League, and Edmonton's up 2-0 in that series. That's surprising the hell out of me. I thought Anaheim might win the Stanley Cup championship this year. Chicago out in the first round by the Predators, who are still playing well in the second round. I thought they'd disappear in the second round after that big, I mean, that was their Stanley Cup finals, beating the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, what's going to happen over there? Again, the Rangers. I thought the Rangers and their goaltending, I thought, my God, there's no way Lundqvist is, he is a wall right now, and all of a sudden Ottawa's finding a way to put Swiss cheese through that wall.
Yeah, and I grew up rooting for the Devils, and Murray Craven, of course, of the Golden Knights, gave me a hard time about that recently. He said, you and who, five other people rooted for the Devils? But I think the NHL playoffs are really exciting, unless, of course, you're a Washington Capitals fan, and in that case, and by the way, if you're the Penguins, are you absolutely loving the fact that Ottawa is up 2-0 over the Rangers?
And what about Fleury finding his youth again?
Yeah.
What is up with that?
Well,
he wasn't even supposed to start. He wasn't even supposed to play in the playoffs, Mags.
Yeah, yeah. It's
crazy.
It's crazy.
Sidney Crosby has an angel on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout his career, when he beat the Wings in 7 games when he was a rookie, it made me sick to my stomach, and it's been nothing but the same ever since.
I'm really hoping that Edmonton could pull it off. I'd love to see the Oilers get to the final because you may have that moment almost like you had that magic to Jordan moment because Crosby, he's been around a long time. Granted, he came in as a young kid, but he's taken a beating. His career's starting to wind down. Connor McDavid of the Oilers.
So much fun
to watch. He is a young, up-and-coming superstar. So you'd almost have that moment where you have the great player now playing the pupil, basically.
And the pupil, I'm telling you, Mag, you know, the more I watch Connor McDavid, I see he's like Gretzky-esque with the way he handles the puck. He's so fast. But what's wild about him is the maturity of a 19, 20-year-old kid with the poise that he displays on the ice, Mags, and the way he plays the game. The maturity is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's Gretzky-esque. It really is, man.
I won't ever use that word to describe a hockey player because to me, Wayne Gretzky is the pinnacle of all athletes in my lifetime because he was just so much better. I mean, when you look at his statistics against everyone else, and there were some great players.
Staggering.
You know, Lemieux, of course, another fantastic player. Not even close.
Well, I'll tell you what. A little bit, just maybe a twinge before your time, Guy Lafleur was an amazing hockey player.
I caught Guy Lafleur at the end when he was with the Rangers.
Right before Gretzky was Lafleur. And Guy Lafleur was magical. A little guy.
Yeah.
But
no helmet.
No helmet, and could he handle the puck? His puck handling ability is maybe the best I've ever seen in the National Hockey League. Listen, we've got coming up Mike Pritchard, Pritch from Mitch and Pritch, right after this on ESPN. Coming up after the second half of the hour, stick around for that. Kelly McCrimmon, why can't I say that?
McCrimmon.
Yes, McCrimmon. I remember Brad McCrimmon well. He played a couple years with the Red Wings, real tough defenseman in the National Hockey League. His brother, who unfortunately died in an accident back in 2011, plane crash actually in Russia. Really tragic story, but he's going to be joining the show. We've got the 51s report. I want to give away some 51s tickets. I want to give away a poker entry to Binion's tournament. It's all going to happen right here on Fox Online. Joining us now, 8-year NFL veteran and current colleague here at the Las Vegas Sports Network. He is the co-host of what was, until last Friday, the Mitch and Pritch Show on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM. He is Mike Pritchard. And Pritch, before getting into it, let me ask you something simple. What's the name of your show now, and when are they introducing me as your new co-host?
Well, the name of the show is called I Don't Know, and when are they introducing you is... Your guess is as good as mine. Hey, that could be the name of the show. Your guess is as good as mine.
Hey, I like that a lot. Pritch, last year we had you on the Sunday before the draft. This year I wanted a different perspective. Now, it's the Sunday after the draft. What is Tarik Cohen doing today? And just in case those of you out there don't know who Tarik Cohen is, he's a 5'6" running back out of North Carolina A&T who was the 13th player picked in this year's draft. And ironically, Pritch, he was the second player picked in the first round by the Chicago Bears, kind of like someone else I know that was a 13th pick in the first round, but the second pick of the same team. Not so long ago. So I imagine you can relate.
Oh, I can relate. Yeah. You know, when you're the second pick in the first round, I mean, you're not really the first rounder. Which is crazy because the first rounder for that draft for me, Bruce Pickens.
You don't even remember. I was going to bring him up to you.
Yeah. Well, he's a Nebraska guy, first of all, so I can't remember him. Because then second of all, you know, coming from Colorado, you kind of tend to forget those guys from Nebraska. But, I think he goes down as Atlanta's biggest bust ever. So there you go. There's your distinction as being a first-round draft choice, first pick, though. We went to the playoffs that year, and, you know, for me to have a starting role, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, as you said, it's pretty amazing. That draft for Atlanta, when you look at it, and I look down the draft, after Pritch, by the way, coming, I think, the 33rd pick in the second round, a guy named Brett Favre was drafted by Atlanta. And way later on in the draft, you talk about overall, Mr. What do they call him? Mr. Not Insignificant. What's Mr. Irrelevant? Wasn't that somebody by the name of Bob Christian that year who was drafted in the 12th round, 310th overall, and ended up playing 11 years as a fullback in the National Football League?
Yeah, he wasn't bad. I mean, you know, Christian, he was a great special teams guy. And, you know, back then, 12 rounds is insane compared to what they have now. So, I mean, if you were drafted in round 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, your chances are really making a team were slim, but you got to give credit to people like that. 12th round draft choice, a guy who, you know, playing fullback in a run and shoot. How many chances do you have to make the team? So he made it and he had a nice career. And so that's what it could show to you, show to people. You know, just because you get drafted or wherever you get drafted, Tom Brady, it doesn't matter. The draft is nothing but an opportunity for you to make something of yourself. And, you know, when you get that opportunity, you certainly have to capitalize.
And some players do, some players don't. And really, it's that intangible, the hard intangible. You can sometimes see that in college. Sometimes at the combines, you can get that. But then there's guys that just show up after the combines, a guy like Christian, who puts together a nice little career. He is Mike Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver and sports radio talk shows here at the LV Sports Network. Initial assessment, did the Bears screw up taking Mitchell Trubisky with the second pick in the draft?
Well, time will tell if he screwed up. I mean, it right now, it was certainly wasn't a great pick. And, you know, if you're the Bears, if you're the GM, I don't know if you care what everybody thinks. Obviously, you don't. But at this point, no, that was a reach. It was a panic. I think they got wind that there was a lot of teams that were trying to negotiate with the 49ers. And so here we go. Let's panic. Let's give them the world just to move up one spot and get a guy that we hope will turn into something. Now, I will say this about their GM and probably understanding the coaching staff a little bit, that maybe they feel like they can develop Trubisky and he'll become that franchise quarterback. But then on the other hand, how long is Fox going to be there? He's got the right coach. He's got the right coach in the staff that has a mentality that, look, we want to develop players. Now, the question mark is how long do they give this coaching staff? Because it's going to be a while for the Bears and Trubisky to have a happy marriage there.
Yeah, you know, 6'3", 225, he's thick. And there's no question the arm strength is there. The raw talent is there. He completed a real high percentage of his passes, even though he only started 13 games in North Carolina. I'm impressed with the raw talent. But again, you know, Pritch, going back, as far as I can remember, I only remember one guy drafted way up there out of the quarterback position, one or two, that strung together a nice 15-year career in my lifetime, and that guy's name was Peyton Manning. Other than that, most of the guys that I've seen, they come later on, they develop, and do you think it's the pressure of, you know, where Peyton Manning's brought up in a football family, you know, father, a superstar in college, and, you know, if Eddie played for a different team, he'd probably be in the Hall of Fame as well. But maybe I always thought that helped Manning out handle the pressure of being a number one pick, where so many guys, even though they're superstars in college, that pressure comes at a high price.
Well, it does, but I mean, Peyton Manning wowed you, though. I mean, when you're a first round draft choice, and particularly that high, something has to jump off the page. Now, when you hear Trubisky has a strong arm, well, you know what? I think every single quarterback that was available to be drafted had some type of strong arm. I mean, that comes with the territory. You know, accuracy and all this other stuff. Those intangibles are okay. But there's got to be something special about that player that you have to identify to justify picking him that high in the draft. And there's nothing about Trubisky that has that. He has that. So the intangible about Deshaun Watson was he won a national championship and he beat Alabama. He played well against Alabama. You know, that distinction is there. Mahomes, when people talked about, oh, God, he can make plays outside the pocket. Well, in the National Football League, you got to make plays in the pocket. So that doesn't compute. Kaiser, you know, he's a big, strong kid. Well, so is Cam Newton. And so Cam Newton stunk last year. I mean, the consistency for that position, to warrant that high of a draft choice, God, that player absolutely has to wow you and has something in him, ingrained in him, to say, you know what, this guy's going to be the leader of my team someday, and those guys in the locker room are going to follow him. And again, I don't know if you even recognize that with Trubisky, so why make the pick there?
Well, it's great, especially considering they brought in Mike Glennon, paid him starting quarterback money, and then you're going to go out and draft Trubisky with your second-round draft pick. It was absolutely insane. I'm happy as hell about it. I'm from Detroit. Bears, do whatever you want. You guys go ahead. Matter of fact, why don't you draft some kickers, too, while you're at it? I'm happy. But
yeah,
no.
I mean, you guys have a quarterback that has a strong arm, right?
We do. Yeah, we do.
Is there anybody in that division? Well, okay, Bradford might not have a strong arm, but but no, you go around the league and in quarterback and having a strong arm, Jay Cutler, is not what's going to help you win more games. What's going to help you win more games is a player that can make people play above the level that they ever thought they could play. LeBron James, you know. Kobe Bryant. I mean, people just said that is significant, that can raise the level of play of their teammates. That's who you want in your leader, in particular at quarterback position.
I agree 100%. All it is, Pritch, is we know it. It's another guy being drafted way before he should have simply because of the position that he plays. And
right.
That's it. And it really gets disgusting after a while. I love the general manager. I love, my favorite saying is best available player. That's who I would always take. I could be wrong. I might get fired 30 times. I'm taking what we assess as the best available player in the draft always. And when the Lions don't do that, I'm sick, but I can't talk about the Lions drafting. Listen, I want to ask you a question. Based on where you were drafted and what you accomplished, are you content with your NFL career? And if you could go back and change anything or do anything over, what would it be?
That's a great question. You know, I got to play 9 years on the field, and I got credit for 10 years. So, I'm content from that standpoint. Considering midway through my career, I lacerated my kidney. I came back from that. I came back from a pretty severe knee injury, even though it caught up to me as you get older. All in all, I think so. Got to the playoffs a few times there. Got to play with some legendary quarterbacks, in particular. You know, Brett Favre, like you mentioned, John Elway, and then Warren Moon. No, there's no regrets. Anything I would have done differently, obviously I wouldn't have dove in practice in a two-minute drill to lacerate my kidney. If I could take anything back, that would be the single occurrence that I would do or take back. But yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I have zero regrets. But I think I had a pretty good career there.
Oh, I think so, too. And you look through your career, even through college, with the coaches that you had throughout your career, the different personalities, a guy like Jerry Glanville. I can only imagine what it was like standing on the sideline with him. And I'm amazed. You know, I watched that 30 for 30 with Brett Favre, and I was just amazed that he really didn't like Brett Favre. And, I mean, it was just like, what the hell, man? This guy, you had to see the guy. But then again, there you go, arm strength, the guy that could. Did he really do that? You know, I saw him 30-30. He would have Brett Favre throw it into the third level. Did he really was doing that?
Well, yeah. I mean, Brett was a circus at that point to Jerry, and Jerry's just trying to make fun of him, and he didn't want that pick. He wanted somebody else, and so at that time, when you're a third-string quarterback, I mean, you're not suiting up anyway, and he would have Brett do some crazy things and just to show some arm strength. And, you know, one of the drills, too, which June Jones never gets credit for back then, is they used to put these trash cans 44 by 4, which is identical, you know, the ideal location where you want to throw a 9 route, a bomb down the sideline. You want to lead your receiver 44 yards down the field and 4 yards off the sideline and throw it over their outside shoulder. So they would put these trash cans right there. The quarterbacks could not leave until they made a certain number in that trash can. And, man, the quarterbacks that we had, it was Brett Favre, Billy Joe Tolliver, and Chris Miller. Man, these guys would battle. And a lot of times, Brett Favre would win that contest where he would just throw that ball on the line in the air and make it right into that trash can, 44 yards down the field.
Wow.
And 4 yards from the sideline. I mean, it was incredible when you witness that accuracy, when you witness that ability. But, you know, June Jones never gets a lot of credit for it, but he was one of those pioneers that had those quarterbacks trying to develop that accuracy.
Pioneer along with Miles Davis in the run and shoot
right.
In the West Coast offense. Hey, we got to go. Pritch, last thing I'm going to ask you heading out the door. So before we let you go, and since both Magnum and I would like to be your co-host, I just want to know who you like better.
Oh, man, that's an interesting question. Who do I like? How much time we have?
We're out. Matter of fact, he was supposed to hang up on you, but he got on the phone with the assistant general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights. That we're having Kelly McCrinnan on right now with us.
Right.
So, hey, Pritch, I really appreciate taking time out on your Sunday morning, my friend.
No problem, Jay.
We'll talk to you soon. That is Mike Pritchard. That's Mike Pritchard, the host of what's going to be a show on Prime Time Drive Time coming on Monday. We'll find out tomorrow. Great guy, and love having him here. Listen, we're going to move right over to our next guest. We have the assistant general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, NHL in Las Vegas, 2017 fall. Kelly McCrinnan, welcome to Out of Line.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely our pleasure. And, you know, you got the team coming up this year, and, you know, I do want to thank you, but I have to ask you, I'm sure you have to, you've asked yourself and your colleagues the same question. What the hell? The worst you can do in the lottery is pick 6th. And, that's where you guys ended up.
Well, it's, you know, by definition, it's a lottery. So there's nothing you can do, to prepare. There's, you know, it is what it is. It played out the way it played out. We've had the advantage of knowing all season that we would be drafting in the top 6. So we've put, you know, additional focus into that group of players that we think are going to get drafted there. So we'll be prepared. We still feel real strongly that there'll be a very good player available at 6. And, you know, like every team in the lottery, we were hoping for 1. We were hoping for 2. As high as you could be, the better. But in our case, it played out that we would be drafting 6th in the entry draft.
Kelly, you've been in the WHL for what must seem like forever to you. A team owner, general manager, and coach. You've turned down some pretty good offers to make the move to the NHL in the past. Why now?
The opportunity in Las Vegas was real unique. I think beginning with great ownership and you know, real confidence that if we do our jobs well, we'll have a chance to be successful because of Bill Foley's support. You know, the opportunity to work with George McPhee, who's had a great deal of sustained success at the National Hockey League level, I thought was going to be real beneficial For me, the uniqueness of the expansion opportunity, as exciting as all of the people in the Golden Knight organization thought expansion was going to be, it's been that and much more. So it's a just a real opportunity as a hockey executive to get a chance to do something that very few people get to do, and it's been really enjoyable.
Well, being from Detroit, I can tell you the history of hockey is embedded in my brain. Huge Gordie Howe fan. I didn't live far from him, and rest in peace. What a great guy. But the bottom line is I think they've got a lot of good pieces in place here, and I'm amazed how quick you and George McPhee were able to pull all this together. Pretty impressive. I heard Wayne Gretzky on your website recently talk about how this expansion draft creates a more even playing field than in the past. That being said, and maybe even being the case, in your opinion, what are realistic expectations the Vegas hockey fans should expect this season?
Well, I think there's a few things. Just to follow up on the one comment you made, I think our fans can be really confident in the organization that has been put together, the off-ice team, if you will, both on the pro scouting side, our analytics on the amateur side. I think we've got an extremely talented group in place to do the best job of positioning our franchise. So first and foremost, that's where it begins. And I think that, from there, there's all the different steps that we're going to need to go through here, getting ready for the expansion draft. I believe that the NHL, made it a real priority to allow this expansion process to give us a real competitive team. So the longer view, we're trying to build a Stanley Cup champion. The shorter view, we believe that we're going to be able to draft a team that's extremely competitive beginning on opening night here in 2017.
We are talking to Kelly McCrimmon, assistant general manager of the new NHL's newest franchise, the Vegas Golden Knights, who will play their inaugural season in 2017. Kelly grew up, me and you are about the same age, and I grew up a huge fan of your brother, Brad. I played defense, obviously, at a fun level, and truly kind of modeled my game after him, another guy named Brad Park. Those are the guys that I loved when I was a kid. So pretty cool. Your brother, rest in peace, man, was super sad when I heard about that back in 2011. Okay, real quick, Kelly, time to put you on the spot here for a minute. Can you give us a hint on what players might be coming, or even players you are on your realistic wish list?
Well, that's going to be the outcome of our amateur year-end meetings that we've got coming up in early May. We've watched a lot of hockey all over the world, and we'll meet for 5 or 6 days, pull together our final list from each of the leagues, pull together our final list from all of the countries, and then, of course, most importantly, put together the final list overall, which is what we'll walk into the draft with. So, there's a lot of players that are candidates. I think that one of the things that you'll hear from different people is that it's a little less defined this year in terms of who's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on through the top 10, which some years it's able to be predicted a little bit more. So that'll be the job, for our amateur staff led by Bobby Lowe's and Scott Luce to pull that together, build consensus, and we'll be real confident walking out of those meetings in the middle of May.
Well, I'm telling everyone, right now, there's never been a better time. If you're not a hockey fan out there right now, start watching. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are phenomenal this year. You're seeing how anything can happen on any given night. You're seeing how hot goaltenders can dictate a series, and you definitely see a rise in the level of play in the postseason, and this year is just indicative of why I love hockey so much. Last question for you. How, and I get asked this all the time, Kelly, so I'm going to put this out to one of the executives of our hockey team. How confident are you and this organization, and please be as unpolitically correct as you can, that hockey can survive in Las Vegas when it has been struggling right around the corner in Phoenix?
Well, I couldn't be more confident, to be honest. Again, as I touched on earlier, we've got great ownership with Bill Foley, a guy that's been really successful in business, a person who's made a tremendous commitment to Las Vegas to bring a team, the first pro team, a professional sports team, to the city. And there's a very good management team in place. I know that on the ticket side, we've been extremely encouraged by the level of interest. And, you know, I get, doing interviews similar to this one, one of the questions I sometimes get asked is, what has surprised you in this first year? And to be honest, the level of interest is just, far exceeded anything that I would have envisioned in Las Vegas. For example, our recent press conference where we announced Gerard Gallant as our first head coach, the attendance of that event, the coverage of that event, the interest from our fans in anything that we've done in Las Vegas has been tremendous. So I think it's a fan-driven business, and we feel real confident that we're going to have great fan support. We've got a great venue. We've got a great location. You know, I think tremendous leadership from George McPhee on down through our staff. So I couldn't be more confident that NHL hockey is going to be very successful in Las Vegas.
Looking forward to it. They will be facing off this coming fall, the Vegas Golden Knights, their first season. We're looking very forward to it. Kelly, again, being from Hockey Town myself, I'm a huge fan, but I have found a lot of displaced hockey fans out here that are really excited. And, hey, it didn't hurt that the LA Kings over here on the West Coast won a couple Stanley Cups, get everyone pumped here. We're looking forward to it, my friend. Can't wait to meet you in person, and I'm looking real forward to hockey facing off here in Las Vegas.
Great stuff, guys. Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. He is Kelly McCrimmon, the assistant general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, starting playing hockey. We're going to take a real quick break. No breaks, Mag. We don't got time for a break. All right, well, give me some music then. All right, I'll take it. Hold on, let me get to my blazing here.
This is why I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm fly. You ain't cause you not. This is why I'm hot.
Okay, I got it. Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day, America's place for wings, beer, and sports during football season. I'm there every Monday night. We are hosting the Monday Night Football parties, giving away replica jersey, wing parties, wings, and a whole lot more. Come on down. And again, that is Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Well, the bottom line is in baseball. Uh-oh, I lost something. Oh, that's what I lost. I just lost my headphones. I'm going to say Blazing. You know what's Blazing, Mags? Last night at Dodger Stadium, something pretty incredible happened. It doesn't happen very often at all in baseball. You know what happened? The Los Angeles Dodgers, starting with Yasiel Puig, hit back-to-back-to-back home runs. They were down 5-2 in the top of the ninth. Puig led it off with a home run, back-to-back-to-back, and then after five more batters later with two outs, Adrian Gonzalez hits a single, and they win the game in nine innings. Pretty impressive, but what's hot is back-to-back-to-back home runs. Turner, closed it out with a third home run. Pretty cool, and that's Blazing. What you got for me?
Well, I can go with what's going on right now in the world of soccer. Of course, I love that sport. And Premier League winding down, but last week, FA Cup. This week, we're getting ready for the Champions League semifinals Tuesday and Wednesday. Real Madrid playing Atletico Madrid on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Juventus travels to Monaco. If you have not watched this teenager from Monaco, Kylian Mbappe, he's 18 years old. He is amazing. He scored 5 goals in the knockout stages so far in the Champions League. If I was going to watch one, I would watch that one on Wednesday. So Kylian Mbappe is blazing right now for me.
Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every single day and America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. That is Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. And it is time for Fact This.
Born in America, I'm Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval, and live from fabulous Las Vegas, the entertainment capital of the world, and along with the Raider Nation, I'm proud to say with the 129th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft. The Oakland Raiders select David Sharp.
Now, the fact is, the NFL Draft was this weekend, and the fact is, David Sharp was the first pick of the Oakland Raiders. Did you hear Brian Sandoval? The Oakland Raiders, people. I don't know what, I'm excited as hell like the rest of you for football to come here. And I'm sure Mags can echo my sentiments. But the bottom line is, let me tell you another fact. A fact this. An average career of an NFL player is 3.3 years. So what does that mean? Mags, you know when the Raiders start playing in Las Vegas?
A minute and 54 seconds.
No, they...
They
won't be playing here in a minute and 54 seconds. I know that.
Right.
3 years from now.
3 years from now. So what that's telling me is probably, would you say it's fair, Chris, that 60% at least of this team will not be part of the Las Vegas Raiders?
Well, I would say that that's actually pretty high because of the fact that the Raiders went majority defense. That was an area of need for them. If these guys pan out, I mean, you can expect the higher picks to be there, but I think 60% is a little high because they did go with them. Now, the late round picks, yeah, the seventh
round. What I'm saying is this was the Oakland Raiders draft, Mags. That's the bottom line. It's not the Las Vegas Raiders draft. They're not ours yet. People don't claim. You know, we've been passing them off. They still get them. Let them hang on while they've got them. It's a fact. A lot of these players won't be here. And even if it's 40%, Mags, it's still a lot of the team won't be here. Listen, we got to jump right into the 51s report. 51s are played this past week.
Albuquerque.
They played Albuquerque. They're right now, they're, I think, a couple games under 500 in the Pacific Coast League. And I'll tell you right now where they're at. They're actually one game under 500. They're 11-12. They've gone 3-7 in their last 10 games. They'll pick it up. It's a lot of fun. 51s will be back in town. I believe they're in town. They're in town all week still, right? All the way till Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
Today's Bark in the Park.
Bark in the Park on Sunday. What time does that game start? Is it an afternoon game? Look at you, know more than I do. And then a couple more games, but they are in all the way till Friday. Listen, we're out of time. It's out of line. I want to thank Mike Pritchard, Pritch, for joining the show. Kelly McCrimmon, thank you for joining the show. Mags, thank you. We're here every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. We'll see you next week.